Good evening. Good to see you all there in Fairview and some others that have tuned in from elsewhere. It's good to be with you tonight, and we trust that the Lord will give the needed help as we come to the Word of God together. Now, it's hard to believe that this is the last night of another year, 2020. And what a year it has been, unprecedented in our lifetime, for sure. A year ago on January the 1st, there wasn't one of us had even heard that there was such a thing as COVID-19. And we're inundated with that thought every day. So things have sure changed in the year that has passed. Sadly, some in our area here in Wisconsin and in Iowa, some have succumbed to it, and our sympathies go to those families. Other changes have occurred too. Freedom to meet and assemble is obviously impacted there in BC and in other parts. And we're glad that we're able to meet again in person. So the point is that changes have occurred in the year that's passed. And now as 2020 comes to an end and we embark upon a new year, we want to take a moment just and reflect on what lies ahead and what will be our approach to 2021. So we want to turn to the Bible then for guidance. Let's come to the scriptures and we'll read three occurrences of the year ending. And there are great differences between those involved. So first of all, to 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. This is going to be a negative lesson for us regarding Absalom. 2 Samuel 14, verse 25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he polled his head, he shaved his head. When he polled his head, for it was at the every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him. Therefore, he polled it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. Now, that'll suffice for reading regarding Samuel. We'll be thinking about other aspects of him, but come to 2 Chronicles now, chapter 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And here in verse 1, we read about Joash. He was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zebaiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And so that eventually takes place. And verse 13, the work was perfected. They finished that work. End of verse 14. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel. Now, Jehoiada wasn't a king, he was a high priest, both toward God and toward his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance unto the king. That's Joash. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And then there follows a sad event where Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, he brings a message against them. And they took him and stoned him. Now, verse 23. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. Now, one more short reading from Exodus 23. Book of Exodus, chapter 23. We'll read from verse 14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. That's number one. Verse 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors. That's normally called the feast of first fruits, which thou hast sown in thy field. And the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all the males shall appear before the Lord God. And in other references, none shall appear before him empty. So we've read these three occurrences in our Bibles where you have the end of the year specified. The first one relates to Absalom, a man who desires to rule. And very clearly from our reading, it's his vanity before God that is the focus of those verses, his vanity. Then we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and the young king who did rule, Joash. But we find in this context his accountability to God, his accountability for turning away from the Lord. And then finally, from Exodus 23, we want to think about Israel and what is portrayed for us in this Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year, otherwise called the Feast of Tabernacles. And we want to think a little bit about the significance of that and where that will bring us in our thinking. We've been listening to the song already tonight, that fir millennial morning. So let's come to Absalom, first of all, this narcissistic man. We read that at the end of the year, he shaved off his head. So the hair on his head was heavy on his head. And headstrong Absalom does this exercise in vanity of shaving off all of his hair, and then he weighs it at 200 shekels of weight. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 clearly states the principle that it is a shame for a man to have long hair. But we find that Absalom is of the sort who glories in his shame. And at the end of each year, he puts on this habitual show, this shaving show, where he's taking off his hair and he's weighing it before the people and before God as well. You talk about vanity. This was a whole year's worth weight of vanity. That's all it was, just a show of vanity. I wonder tonight, just as we reflect back on the year that's passed now, we certainly have had more time on our hands, perhaps this year, than any other year, more than what is normal. But I wonder, has it all been about me? Let's ask ourselves that question. Have we been so unoccupied that we have become self-occupied to the point where we might be fairly described, as we have been describing Absalom, as narcissistic? Now, you say it's a big word. What does that mean? Well, if you look up the dictionary, a narcissist is one who has a preoccupation with or an admiration for himself. Has an exaggerated sense of his own self-importance. He has a need for admiration. And that was Absalom. That's exactly who Absalom was. That's his character. We know, too, that Absalom had aspirations to rule in Israel. He was a narcissist. So let's just bring that back on ourselves. How do we think about ourselves at the year's end? I contrast the self-exalting Absalom with the self-examining David. I'm going now to Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David, as he writes that psalm, he is really humbling himself under the mighty hand of God, under the eye of God, if you will, crying out that God would search him, that there would be reality prevailing in his heart. I think that should be the basis of the Christian's self-image too, don't you? Applying God's thoughts about us to ourselves, and adjusting our thoughts in keeping with the word of God. I think that's becoming a lost art in many places. Adjusting our thinking, our preconceived ideas, with what the word of God actually is saying. Back in the 1700s, there was a man with the interesting name of Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. I don't suppose there's any with that name here tonight, but he wrote a poem one time, and it was a prayer for purity. And this is how some of the stanzas go. O thou, to whose all-searching sight the darkness shineth as the light, search, prove my heart, it pants for thee. O burst these bonds and set it free, wash out its stains, refine its dross, nail my affections to the cross. Hallow each thought. Let all within be clean, as thou, my Lord, art clean. It would be good if those were the aspirations of our hearts. Psalm 119, again. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. 1 Corinthians 11, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, as for self-exalting Absalom, it didn't end well, did it? He went on to rebel against his father, and he openly indulged in immorality until finally he was being pursued by Joab. And it was his head that he was so proud of that was caught in the boughs of the oak tree. Then Joab took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. So his self-centered life came to a miserable end. David lamented for his son, for his young man, for Absalom. So as we start 2021, let it not be, brothers and sisters, as one obsessed with self, but rather let us humbly turn our feet unto thy testimonies and into the way everlasting. Letting the word of God lead us into 2021. Psalm 119 again. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? But by giving heed thereto, according to thy word. Perhaps we've been neglecting the word of God. But let us return to habitually reading it. Making time to study it closely, more closely. Taking heed to it and seeking grace from the Lord to have our thoughts adjusted by it. And in all our ways in 2021, to be guided by the word of God. That would be a happy portion for any believer. Now, God's answer to self in the New Testament is clearly the violent death of crucifixion. And so Paul writes to the Galatians and says, I am crucified with Christ. I, the big I, am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It will be a good start to the new year if our thoughts were adjusted to say, like Paul, not I, but Christ. So Absalom in his vanity. Let's come to think now about the accountability of Joash. He was a boy king, just 7 years old when he came to the throne, and he starts out well. Under the mentoring care of Jehoiada the high priest, we find this young man doing well at the start of his life. Jehoiada was a man who himself had brought reforms into the nation, and in the previous chapter, he initializes recovery, and he deals with the idolatrous house of that wicked woman, Athaliah. Joash became an exercised young man. And he was very concerned about the recovery and the restoration of the temple, the house of God that was in Jerusalem. And so there were arrangements made and money was collected in abundance and workmen were hired and they set about restoring the temple of God in Jerusalem until that work was perfected by them in verse 13. And they brought vessels and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And we read how that they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada, the high priest. Verse 15 tells us, but Jehoiada waxed old. Then the old man Jehoiada, the high priest, he dies. He had a long life, but he dies 130 years. And he's buried. That's verse 16. Now verse 17. The princes of Judah came and made obeisance to Joash. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. So Joash allows the influence of these princes to turn him away from the Lord. Now, for a while, it seemed to go fine. Until Joash comes in for judgment and loss. It occurred at the end of the year. It came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him. And they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. At the end of the year, and God holds Joash to account by these invading armies of Syria. I think it would be a good exercise on our part to examine our past. Perhaps we have made good progress in the past. Perhaps we have started off well. Perhaps we have been known for our zeal and our exercise in the things of God. But remember, the Christian race is not merely a sprint, but it's more like a marathon. And it would be too bad if you and I would be tempted to fade out in the long stretch of life. At the year's end, Joash was brought to account. I think it would be good again at this year's end to listen to the Apostle John. Listen to what he writes in 2 John verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things that we have wrought, but that ye receive a full reward. Now, 2020 has not been an easy year. And if the new year is like this one, it will be difficult too. But let us have it in our hearts not to fade out like Joash, who suffered loss as a result. Now, it may not be apparent in this life that we suffer loss spiritually. But remember, before us as the people of God, there is the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. And each one of us will stand there. And we will give account for the year 2020. And we'll give account for the year 2021 DV. If the Lord be not come and we live to see the end of it. So how are we going to face this year and the difficulties that likely lie ahead? I think of the Apostle Paul there in Acts chapter 20. He was anticipating afflictions. They were lying just ahead. But he says in verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So the challenge to us, brothers and sisters, at this year end, and as a new year is beginning, shall we fade out into the background like Joash and suffer loss? Or like Paul, will we be able to say at the end, even of our life, or when the Lord shall come, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So lessons from the life of Joash and his accountability before God. Now let's come quickly in our thinking to Exodus 23. We could have read as well in Exodus 34. There's a very similar verse there. Here we have mention of some of the feasts of Jehovah. You'll remember there were seven in total that were given to Israel. They were waypoints in the year that not only gave structure to the year, but also they give structure to the ways of God with man in history moving forward in a dispensational sense. In the long view, as you look at the interpretation of those feasts. They were significant to Israel historically, but they have great significance and meaning to us today, dispensationally, spiritually, and even practically. Let me just list them very quickly. First of all, there was Passover, then unleavened bread, then first fruits, then Pentecost, then the blowing of trumpets, then the Day of Atonement, then tabernacles, or dwelling in booths, or as we have it here in our verse, the Feast of Ingathering. Now, lessons to be drawn from those. There, with Passover, of course, there's the thought of redemption. Redemption. That brings us to the cross, our deliverance. When you come to unleavened bread, it's righteousness. It's the thought of righteousness and the condemnation of sin in us, corruption in us. Then when you come to first fruits, that brings us to the resurrection of Christ, the firstborn from the dead, first fruits. He is the first fruit, then afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So it says conquest over death. Then Pentecost brings us indeed in our thinking to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, where there's a new relationship formed. The body of Christ is formed by the coming of the Spirit of God. It's the commencement of the church. With the blowing of trumpets, that takes us into the future in the long view. The idea is regathering, gathering Israel back into the land. It's the future call to the nation to return. And then the Day of Atonement would speak of repentance. They were to afflict their souls. And Israel nationally will enter into the good of the work of Christ on their behalf. In that coming day, there will be national repentance, and they will receive Christ as their Messiah. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and they'll enter into the good of that. And then finally, the Feast of Tabernacles. It speaks of rule. It's looking forward to dwelling before God in joy, Israel, in that coming day, the culmination in a literal kingdom of blessing and joy before the Lord. Now, there were three times in the year that all the males were to appear before God, and it involved three of these feasts. There was the Feast of Unleavened Bread that coincided with barley harvest, and that speaks, as we thought, of redemption from Egypt. Then there was the Feast of Weeks. We know that as Pentecost, and that was linked in with the wheat harvest and takes us to Acts chapter 2 in our thinking. Then finally, the third time when they appeared before the Lord was the Feast of Ingathering, or the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And in our scripture, it is stated that it occurred at the year's end. The year's end. None were to appear before him empty. The harvest was in. The toil of the agricultural year was at an end. Israel was to appear before the Lord and then dwell in booths. It was a joyful occasion. They were to feast, and it was a festive occasion of celebration before the Lord for the bounty of the harvest and his goodness toward them throughout all the year that was past. And of course, that does anticipate the coming millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, when a restored Israel will be before the Lord with joy, dwelling with joy and delighting in his presence. And the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. So Israel nationally will gladly embrace the benefits of the new covenant that was ratified by the blood of Christ so long ago. And you and I have already been beneficiaries of the new covenant. So Israel in that coming day will be subject to the rule of the Lord. Now we are beneficiaries of that covenant too. And what a glad future you and I have as sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. Our portion in that coming kingdom will be to be with all the redeemed in that heavenly city, all resurrected saints, those from a past dispensation, from this dispensation, and those translated at the rapture, those who are martyred during the tribulation period and raised again from the dead, all the redeemed of all ages, gathered around the throne in glorified bodies in that heavenly city, dwelling in joy unimaginable, dwelling before the Lord, and the throne of God and of the Lamb is in the midst of that city and those people. Freed from all the cares of life, we'll gladly bring homage and glad service to him, the one who sits upon the throne of majesty and glory. The reality is this, brothers and sisters, that how you and I live our life now, it will determine the degree of reward and responsibility in service to him then. So what you and I do from day to day has eternal dividends. And only what's done for Christ will last. So how are we going to face 2021? Are we going to live our lives just for ourselves? That will bring us eternal loss of what might have been. Or can we live our lives in sweet communion with Christ and seek to please him in all that we do? That will bring eternal reward. So as the new year dawns then, let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us tell of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us see to it that we spend the coming days of 2021 in the joy of the Lord. You know, that will be our strength until the race is run, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. It was John Nelson Darby who penned that lovely hymn that's in our book. The path where my Savior has gone has led up to his Father in God, to the place where he's now on the throne, and his strength shall be mine on the road. With him shall my rest be on high, when in holiness bright I sit down, in the joy of his love ever nigh, in the peace that his presence shall crown. So this new year will have its challenges. But let's take courage. Let's remind our hearts just this New Year's Eve that we are another year closer to home. We're closer than ever before. Lift up our heads because our redemption draweth nigh. I'm so glad of that. So let's not be like Absalom in his vanity before God. Remembering like Joash, you and I too are accountable to God, our accountability to God. And then like Israel in her destiny, dwelling in joy in the presence of the Lord, you and I can enjoy that even now as beneficiaries of the new covenant and living in the good of his presence. And certainly that is our eternal destiny as well. So I trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts and these thoughts that we have perused together. Now we'll take a moment and speak to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we bow reverently now in thy presence at the close of this day and at the close of this year. And it has been a tremendous year indeed in many ways, but we thank thee for thy faithfulness to us as thy people throughout. And even, Father, in these closing hours, we are reminded from thy word of the bright future that we have before us as the people of God. Indeed, Father, as we think of the coming again of the Lord Jesus, we would echo the words and the sentiments of John of old when he said, "Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." And so, Father, we look to thee then that for that needed strength as we go forward from this day onward. In thy will, we pray that thou will be near to us and preserve and keep us throughout the incoming year in thy will. We think of the lockdown conditions and we pray that soon that there would be more freedom and even freedom to meet together as thy people as once we did. And Father, we are thankful for the measure of freedoms that we do have. And we pray that thou will preserve these to us. And so we drop into thy hand. Bless the assembly there in Fairview and all who have tuned in tonight. We pray for thy good hand upon them and each one in their families. We look to thee for thy blessing as we give thanks again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening.